You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. I'm bursting with excitement today. I have so many things that I've been working on and slowly they're all coming together. I'm super excited. I'll update you as soon as I get to the finish line. But to give you a sneak peek, I have a few amazing webinars coming up. So yes, I will tell you more about it really soon, I promise. And don't forget to text me your email address at bold, B-O-L-D, and get my social media time-saving tips. These are practical, actionable tips that you can totally use immediately. I want to give a shout out to Linny of Things. Linny, thank you so much for such a wonderful review on iTunes. And if you're listening, please send me your email address and I have a little something for you. So it's a complete surprise. Folks, the questions are coming in and I'm going to start the Q&A session really soon. So text me at B-O-L-D or email me at smita@womenpreneursuccess.com and ask me your questions about entrepreneurship, systems and processes, branding, content marketing, and much more. And I will answer it on the show. Don't forget to subscribe and rate and review. And my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, if you're loving this show, please go ahead and share it with your friends. So today I have with me in your earbuds, Tamara Monosoff. She has so much positive energy and I had such a lot of fun talking to her. She's a social entrepreneur, a best-selling author of 6 business books for entrepreneurs, and she's the founder of Mom Invented, a globally recognized brand. Through her website, tamaramonosoff.com, she offers online product creation and launch programs that help rocket entrepreneurs to success. She's also a former Clinton White House advisor and U.S. Department of Education Chief of Staff for Adult Education. And Tamara invented the Teepee Saver. So I'm really, really interested in finding out more about that. Listen to her and get some real tips from Tamara about funding resources. She walks us through how to get your product to market with little or no resources. I love her strategy of working backwards, almost like reverse engineering. Be it our financial goals or your retail price for your product, work backwards so that you can break it down to bite-sized pieces. And of course, we speak the same language of systems and processes, where we both believe that it is imperative to have a strong system in place to grow your business. So let's get on with it today with Tamara Monosoff.
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me today.
Thank you so much for coming on and coming on to our platform for the woman entrepreneurs out there. We're really, really excited. You've done some amazing things and I really want to get into your journey, your insights, your experience and to talk to us about all of that. Let's get started with your journey. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you're doing, how you got here, and tell us please about Teepee Saver. I think that's awesome.
Well, my journey started accidentally, and that was when I had my first daughter, who's now 13. I can't believe it. But when she was 6 months old, she started pulling the family toilet paper, yes, which was really charming until she clogged the toilet.
So I have Tamara, just to let you know, I have 2 boys, 5 and 3. So trust me, I have been through that.
So you understand. So yes, it was not my intention to invent anything. I just went to the store to purchase the gadget that prevented kids from doing this, and there wasn't anything. And so I invented it, having never invented anything in my life. And at that time, there were really no resources to guide me through the way. And so as I was figuring out the process, I did bring my TP Saver to market after 11 months. And I sent out a free press release. I ended up on the Today Show with Katie Couric,
nice.
Having never been on television before. And so I went onto the show, and what fascinated me about the experience was that I had about 500,000 people come to my website after that 2-minute segment, and they weren't necessarily interested in my product. They wanted me to teach them how to bring their own product ideas to market. And so that was really my aha moment, was, wow, I want to give them the information they need, because I knew how hard it was for me to figure out the steps. I wanted the roadmap. And so I thought, well, this is a chance for me to write down the steps that I took to successfully bring the product to market. And hopefully this will help others along their journey.
Nice. And you've been doing that ever since. You've been helping all these women entrepreneurs bring their product ideas to market. That's wonderful. So say, let's get to some maybe practical, you know, advice. So I have a product that I'm thinking of and I love it, you know, and I've done my market validation. I know there's a demand for it, and I have no clue, you know, I have no funding. What do I do?
Well, okay. So the first step is market research. So sounds like you're saying past the market research stage.
Yes.
Okay. So with funding, the beauty of funding today is that is like no other situation in the past. When I started out, the opportunities that exist today simply didn't exist. So I get really excited about funding. I dedicated a whole chapter to that in my last book, because you can do crowdfunding and not go into debt. And that is also a great way to put your product out there and get a reaction too, because it's also market research. You're building excitement about your product. And, you know, if you take the chance and have the courage to launch a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, there are so many other ones also, and you put yourself out there, you're going to really see what the response is to your product. So if there really isn't a response, maybe you need to go back and do some more market research and figure out what the appropriate niche might be, because you can still be successful if you have a specific niche, but not all products are meant for the mass market. So you really need to be clear about this ahead of time. In addition, there are other platforms like Kiva used to only provide online or loans that were abroad, but now they've got Kiva Zip, which is a incredibly fast way to get loans online. I had one of the entrepreneurs just told me they got $5,000 in their bank account within 24 hours.
Wow.
And that's where you you reach out to your contacts and ask them for help. And then everyone puts in like $5, and then Kiva Zip will match that. I mean, it's a lot of fun and you can get funding quickly. There are also resources like Cabbage with a K that offers online loans. Those are a higher percentage rate, but if you need a little bit of money to, like for your first manufacturing run, you just need quick money. That's one place. And then another place that I was able to get funding that I highly recommend that is often overlooked is through nonprofit agencies that offer micro loans. So, and you'd be amazed at how many are there. If you type in micro loans, or in my book, I list a whole bunch of resources that you can apply for and get funding. I think I got one of my $25,000 loan from a micro lender, and they were so easy to work with. And not only that, they were so supportive. They would call me and say, "How's it going?" And I'm like, "Really? You're calling me to see how I'm doing?"
Right.
And that was through Working Solutions.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's just so much money available that just simply didn't exist before. So it's an exciting time for entrepreneurs.
Awesome. I love all of them. And you're so right. I think crowdfunding is so great to find your, you know, market fit, you find your niche, and then you go about it and you really get validation for your product. And I think it's also a place where a lot of angel funding, you know, people are seeing what's getting really picked up. And you're right about microloans too. I know there's one in California that does really well. I think it's called Opportunity Fund, if I'm not wrong.
That's right.
And yeah, I've heard really, really good stuff about them. Now tell me, you know, as a product, you've built products, you've helped people build them. Where do people find resources to, you know, maybe build their products?
Right. Well, there are the beauty of the internet, as you know, yes, is that everything is right at your fingertips. So, you know, I have in the Mom Inventors Handbook, second edition, I have listed so many prototype and factories that you can draw upon that were provided by the entrepreneurs that I featured in the book. So these are real factories that people can use both in the US and abroad. But if you're just starting out, you can do a couple of things. One is you can jump onto thomasnet.net and you can go and type in the type of materials that you want to use, and they will end the location, and it will bring up prototype developers within your area. You can also go on to Alibaba.com, which is in China, and you can find similar type items that you currently are making, and you can reach out directly to those factories, because if they're making similar items, they could end up being a great resource for you.
That's right. And I think, you know, sometimes women entrepreneurs especially, they kind of think that all of that is unreachable, or maybe they don't want to go through, they think it's too hard to get to. And we'll put a link to your book there too, so at least they can find those resources easily. That's wonderful. So tell me, where do people find investors? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So usually it starts with you.
Yes.
It's hard to get investors when you are just starting out. I mean, that's just the reality. You have to build a picture of what's possible and really shape your business, as well as have a prototype. It does not have to be an expensive prototype, but at the very least, you have to have a vision for people to even be interested in helping fund your business. Also, investors want to make sure that you have skin in the game. If they see that you have invested financially in your own business as well as your hard work, they're going to see that your feet are both in and you are going to make this thing happen. Mm-hmm. And that gives them more confidence in you. They'll always ask you, well, how much have you invested? How much have you put into this? And sweat and tears is not enough. So, you know, and if you don't have that, then usually it's reaching out to friends and family, which I know can be uncomfortable, but it's your friends and family know you the best. And so if they believe in what you're creating, they oftentimes are the ones that can be very helpful. Beyond that, the crowdfunding, as I said, is fantastic. I've also raised angel funds myself. And the way that you can do that is, first of all, if you just type in angel funding, there are all sorts of angel funding groups, and there'll be something probably local in your area. And one of the ways I was introduced to angel funders, as well as I did go and present at angel groups in my area, but in addition, you can ask professionals that you work with, lawyers, accountants. They oftentimes have these types of contacts. And so you can just say, I'm looking for an angel investor. Is there, do you happen to have anyone that might be interested in my product? And would you be willing to make an introduction for me? And that's how I was introduced as well. So you can reach out to your own network. If you don't have a network, then you can just reach out through angel groups that are local. And if you don't have any local angel groups, almost everybody has local business groups that you can tap into, like through your chamber of commerce. And you can find those business groups, go to their networking events and start talking about and connecting with people and building your network that way to find investors.
Nice. I think there are some really wonderful tips there. What skills do you think women entrepreneurs should have or maybe develop as they go through their entrepreneurial journey?
I think one of the hardest things are all the distractions mm-hmm. that we have. As women, we manage so much, it's like hard to even believe. And then you throw kids into the mix and you're running in every which direction. And so what I have learned over this last decade is to block time out. And for yourself, not yes. time out for your kids, but block time out for yourself in really clear chunks that you have to make sure that you schedule. And when I say this, I mean no email, no phones. Yes, I know it's like shocking news to turn off the digital devices, but really this is a way to block out time to think, to plan, to really think about what your strategies are. And when you map out your strategies, that's how you accomplish your goals. And so I really believe that you must block out concrete time to work on your business every single day and to not be hard on yourself. You know what? If your kid gets the flu and you have to leave everything and go take care of your child, I was at a business meeting 2 months ago and got a call from the school. My daughter had broken her ankle.
Oh no.
So, I mean, I had to just get up from the table in the middle of this meeting and I just had to leave. But that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur too.
Right. That's right. Right?
I said, I'm so sorry. And I paid for lunch and I said, I'm off to go take care of my child.
Yes.
And that is the power of being your own boss and why it just thrills me, because you can take care of the things you need to take care of. And also you know, don't be hard on yourself. If you get sidetracked because you have to take care of your family, then you have to take care of your family. And then you just have to, once that is taken care of, then you move back and you get really clear about the tasks that you have to accomplish for your business.
I think that's so true. And I resonate with you so much because I think an entrepreneur really gives you that freedom to just spend time where you want to spend it. I think that's so important. And by the way, I've done that. I've blocked out time, turning off my phone, and you will not believe how productive I get. It's quite amazing. You know, I'm like, wait, I spent 3 hours and I've accomplished something.
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing.
And you know, to add to what you're saying, I think one of the things, just to go back to your question about what we can do, I think one of the things that women tend not to do, and I'm encouraging every one of you listening to do, is to set financial goals. When someone said for me to set financial goals, I was like, well, what does that mean? How do I do that? I was like, what do you mean? And so when people come to me and they say, oh, I have the next $1 million idea. And I'm like, okay, that's good. But let's really block this out and figure out what this means. Like, what would change your life? What do you need to make that would make sense for your lifestyle that you're wanting to create? Do you want an extra $100,000 a year? Do you want $250,000? Like, what's real? And then let's work backwards from that goal and figure out how many services, if you're a service business, do you need to sell? How many products do you need to sell? And then how are you going to accomplish that to meet your goal? And it's very simple, but there's something so empowering when you actually write that down.
You know, you're so right. And I think that's a really, really important tip that you brought up. That's so true. I think if you go back and you deconstruct it and you say, okay, this is how much I want to get or make. And then the whole process is actually quite exhilarating when you're done with it and you realize that, hey, you know, to do this, this is all I have to do. I can do it, you know. That's a really important tip that you brought up. So let's talk a little bit about mentors. How important do you think a role of a mentor is in an entrepreneur's life? And, you know, how should women entrepreneurs go about finding one?
Well, I think mentors are really valuable. And I see it in the women I'm working with. It's just incredible because what happens is you get there so much more quickly, whatever there is, whatever your goal mm-hmm. is, you get there so much more quickly because you're working with someone who has already done what you're trying to achieve. And so if you're looking for a mentor, you've got to really, you know, you can join women's groups, reach out in your community. As I said, you can find different mentors in different ways. You go online and connect with people who inspire you. And then who knows, they may have a way that you can work with them, especially coaches. You can work with them in accomplishing your goals. So finding the person that fits your personality or doesn't fit your personality. And what I mean by that is I had one student say she loved working with me because I always give her a hug and a shove, which always makes me laugh. Because you know you've got to work with someone that you connect with, but you also want someone to tell you the truth.
That's right.
And to push you maybe a little bit further than you feel comfortable, because success is right outside of your comfort zone.
I like that.
And so you just need to find a mentor who's going to give you those loving nudges to step outside of your comfort zone, because then miraculous things happen.
That's right. That's really nice. And, when you said that, it reminded me of this picture that I have in my mind, and I don't remember where I heard it, but it's so you draw a circle and you put yourself inside it, and that's your comfort zone. And you'd put one little dot outside of that circle, and that's success. So if you can get out of that circle of your comfort, you're going to be successful and nobody can stop you.
I love that visual. That's great.
Yes, yes.
And so true.
Yes, exactly. Wonderful. So Tamara, tell me, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be?
I think that one of the most important things, and possibly one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen, is not making sure that there was enough money left over for you, which are your gross margins. So in the product business in particular, if you're bringing a product to market, you have to work backwards again. I was talking about your financial goals and mm-hmm. working backwards, but you have to work from the retail price backwards. So if you have a $20 item, let's say, and you're selling wholesale at $10, then your production costs, let's say, are $2, then there's margin in between, right? Between the 10 and the 2, you've got margin in between. But what I see happening is people get so involved in putting out great products, which is, of course, you want the highest level quality products possible. But sometimes you use materials that are so expensive that in the end, there's so little left over for you that you're completely wiped out, not only financially, but you're exhausted because you've had to sell so many units to make that money. And so, and then if you have a service business, same thing. Are your prices high enough and not too high that consumers, will say no, but are they high enough that there's really enough built in for you? And then also putting into this is how much are you worth? Because as women, we often don't pay ourselves. So how much is your time worth and how can you build that in? And do the math, because you've got to make sure that there is enough money left over for you, because otherwise you're overworked, exhausted, and wondering why things aren't working, where you can just sometimes just make the slightest adjustments and it can change everything in terms of the money that you're making in your business.
Can you tell us, maybe some blanket reduce your cost of goods examples?
Well, in products, for example, I'll give one of my own examples. Mm-hmm. I had a product called Good Bites crustless sandwich cutters, and they were made out of a premium plastic. Now, I wanted the Rolls Royce of plastic. Yes. And I wanted it food grade. I didn't want it to break. I wanted it to be this like amazing plastic, right? Now, that's great and everything, but that made my cost so high that there was, like I said, not enough margin left over.
Right.
So I spoke to my factory and I said, okay, give me a range because have the same knowledge about plastic that you do. What is my range? I want it to be a high quality product. I want to make sure the plastic doesn't break, and I want to make sure that it's food safe. So how can, what is that? What do I have to work with here? Because I had picked the most expensive thing. And what I learned is there were basically 10 other grades that I could choose from. Hmm. So I decided not to go to the cheapest grade because I still, the quality of the product was so important to me, but I was able to pick a middle range grade that lowered my cost enough that increased my margins and yet didn't take away from the quality of the item. So those are the things. And you know, what people don't realize when you're manufacturing a product in particular, pennies matter. Right. It's amazing. And you think, oh gosh, my packaging is only 3 cents. Well, you're thinking, really? You know, really? We need to think about this. Right. Because if you're getting orders of, you know, 500,000 units, that really adds up quickly. So this is what I'm talking about, is really examine each penny and talk to your factory. And you'd be amazed by the solutions that they'll help you come up with. And then, of course, if you have a service business, there are many ways that you can cut costs. And you just need to look at, you know, what is costing the most in your business. Do you really need it? I always say this to myself when I'm like, right, have my finger on the click button on the shopping cart of something. Yes. And I'm like, do I really need this? You know, right, how is this going to help my business grow? And if it's really, you know, really not needed, I often will just say, you know what, I'm not going to hit that button right now. I'm going to make a list of that so I don't forget about it, but right, I'm going to hold until I'm sure that that is something that it's essential.
Right. Very nice. That's wonderful. You know, that's just on a side note. That's why I have the wish list in my Amazon. I'm like, wait, okay, let me put it in the wish list and then I'll decide tomorrow if I really want this.
Yeah. And it's the same kind of thing. And I have a big whiteboard in my office and I actually have a list of those things. Nice. And they're usually the higher cost items.
Yes.
You know, where it's the systems and things like that. Do I really need that system right now? How is it going to help organize my business in a new and fabulous way? And does it make sense?
Yes. I think those are some wonderful, wonderful strategies and tips. So are you ready for our lightning round?
I don't know what it is, but sure.
We're just going to ask you some surefire questions and you have to be really quick on your feet.
Okay.
Great. What trophy would you want on your mantle?
Oh, that I helped people truly build businesses that they loved, and the businesses gave them financial freedom to just live life fully and passionately in the way that makes them feel the happiest.
Nice. What is your guilty pleasure?
Chocolate covered almonds.
Oh yeah. Yes.
You don't want to know how many I consume. I love them.
That's awesome. And what are you currently reading?
Oh, I read a lot of books, and I tend to read how-to books and fiction books. And I read more than one book at one time. But one that I'm really enjoying right now is called Guidance to Go. And it's by Bridget Engle. And it's a guide to experiencing personal transformation and miracles. And it's a beautiful book. And I love the way that she's turned it into a how-to book. So I love it. So that's what I'm reading.
Nice. What is your one productivity hack?
Focusing. I have an uncanny ability to focus. And that's what I'm really encourage others. And that's what I was talking about. You're creating that block time where you're turning off your devices and focusing on the end result. What is it that you are going to achieve? And that's what I do, is I focus.
And what is your personal motto?
Be unstoppable in pursuit of your dreams.
And last but not the least, what would you do different if you were given another chance?
You know, when I first started out, I didn't have systems in place. And that required backtracking and taking tons of time to recreate things. It was really hard at the beginning because things took off so quickly and I didn't have like a bookkeeping system. I mean, things that, you know, if you're a creative person, sometimes you don't want to deal with. But I'm telling you, when you put those systems in place, it gives you so much more freedom in the end, and structure, and it helps your business grow in such a powerful way. So really getting those structures, the bookkeeping, the accounting, all of those systems in place to help your business have a powerful, strong foundation.
I love it. You've hit the nail on the head, because I am such a big, big systems and processes person. You know, it's so important. People don't realize it. They think they can just go ahead, do it over and over again. But it's so important to have those systems, because that's what gives you that freedom of time. You know, you can do so much if you have those perfect systems in place.
I agree completely.
Well, I know. And in fact, I'm starting a course for that.
Oh, good. What is it?
Well, for systems. Well, I do it locally, and then now I'm taking it online. So I help businesses build their processes and their systems to help them grow. Yes.
So we're speaking the same language then.
Exactly. Yes, we're on the same page. Totally. Tell me, Tamara, what is the best way to reach you?
My website is tamaramonosoff.com. And that's where all my online classes are, my books. And if you sign up for my mailing list, that's where I give tips and tools. And I actually have a gift that I give, which is the 6 funding tips and resources that I actually, most of which I actually used myself. That's available at tamaramonosoff.com.
Nice. And we'll definitely put a link to that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. You've been amazing. You're doing such wonderful things. And it's very nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Smita. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.